What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys? Welcome to the 20th episode, a special episode today of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your day to listen to this podcast. This is an episode that I truly enjoyed filming and I'm just so stoked to share with you guys. So, Curls and Courage, this podcast is still pretty new, but this is the 20th episode, which to me is an accomplishment. We got to celebrate the small wins, right? So I figured I'd do something special for you in today's show. If you're new here or you're a frequent listener of Curls and Courage and just need a little refresher on me, I am 22 years old, a female in the fitness industry from Mobile, Alabama, but I'm currently living in Miami, Florida. And you may be thinking, 22 years old, girl, you've barely even started your 20s. But let me tell you, the past 2 years of my life have been the most challenging for me in pretty much all areas, whether it be career, relationships, mental health, physical health, you know, finances, self-worth, just quality of life, you name it, it's been tough. So I felt inspired to share with you guys what it's been like for me in my 20s so far, because this is the 20th episode. So if you're around my age, you already are aware that navigating through this season of life is overwhelming, it's difficult, and it's honestly just pretty damn confusing and scary at times. You hear people say your 20s are supposed to be the best years of your life, but maybe I just haven't got to that part yet. That's definitely not what I can tell you from my experience. I'm grateful for a lot of things, and I'm grateful for the things that I've gone through, but although I'm 22 again, the last 2 years have been something special for sure. So I'm definitely going to be doing, moving forward throughout the rest of my 20s, everything in my power that I can to live a more happy and fulfilled life. And I want to take you along this journey with me because we all want that. We all want to be happy. We all want to feel like we're feeling purposeful and providing value to the world. So in this 20th episode, I'm going to break down things that I've learned in my 20s so far and things that I'm leaving behind, things that I'm getting rid of and working on changing in my 20s. Believe me, again, if you are 20 years old and battling some hard life situations, you are not alone. In this episode, we talk about how hard adulting truly is. We talk about learning to be more open and vulnerable. We talk about overcoming self-doubt and insecurities. We also dive deep in why you should not be settling for anything less than what you deserve and so much more. Again, very, very excited for this episode. Make sure you listen till the very end. Now let's hop straight into the show. Let's start off with what I have learned in my 20s up to this point. There are an overwhelming amount of things that I've learned, again, in the past 2 years. But today, I don't need this podcast to be 5 hours long. I'm going to try to keep it around 30 minutes. So I'm going to break down just three things that I've learned. First thing I've learned is adulting is hard. And let me tell you what I mean by this. From a very young age, I can remember I always wanted to be an adult. I always thought people older than me were so cool. I wanted to be around them. I didn't like being around people my age. I wanted to be so mature. You can ask my mom. I always wanted to grow up. And I'll give you several personal examples. I remember I had, you know, some girlfriends when I was younger, of course. I would be playing with girls my age and everything they wanted to do, whether it be like play with Barbies or they wanted to like try on outfits or do these things that I thought were too girly-ish and too babyish. That was a word that I always used. I would tell my friend, girl, you are so babyish. We are not doing that. I was a little bit bratty, to be honest, but I wanted to do all of the adult things. I wanted to grow up so fast. I wanted to be independent, right? Like I said, from a young age. And then moving into when I was starting high school and even middle school, really, when I was young, I always knew I wanted to move away. I wanted to move away from my family. I wanted to pay my own bills. I wanted to buy my own groceries and make my own connections and have my own way of thinking and just do things my own way. Now I realize, what the hell was I thinking? Do y'all feel me on this? All of my adults out there listening, anyone 21 years or older, Have you ever said to yourself, man, I wish I could just go back to when I was younger? Because believe me, I've said that multiple times. When the most stressful thing in your life was deciding on what dress you should wear to homecoming, or the most stressful thing you were worried about on whether or not you should go to the high school football game or not. If you're like me and you feel like you grew up too fast, you know just how much a struggle, how much hardship, how much mental and physical it takes, honestly, just to survive, just to be independent, just to be an adult. And that's one thing I do not take for granted. I'm grateful that I've been independent at this young age, but adulting is tough. So again, if you're in your 20s and you're trying to navigate how to be an adult, believe me, I haven't figured it out yet either. I know this is kind of goofy. I'm going to try to break it down in a little bit more of a humorous way, but let me just tell you why adulting is not all it's cracked up to be. I should have told myself this when I was wishing that I could grow up so fast. And please, let me know if you can relate. These are the things I hate about being an adult. And again, we have to be grateful. I'm glad all of these things that I've done, I could never do if I wasn't independent, right? In my business, in my career, in my bodybuilding, in my relationships. But let me tell you, there are some certain things that I truly do despise about being 22 years old. First off, if you're an adult, you got bills to pay. It may be insurance, it may be groceries, it may be light or rent or something medical, just transportation, internet, maintenance, and so much more. Bills that I did not even know existed are coming out of my bank account every single month. So you may be making a good bit of money, but you spend so much of it just to survive and keep the lights on. Second thing I really dislike is there is always some BS that you have to handle when you're an adult. When you're a child, you don't really think about things that your parents are doing too much. But what I mean by this is something in your house breaks and you got to get it repaired. Or you have something at the store that you forgot and you just got home, but you really need that bag of spinach. So then you got to go in your car, and you got to drive to the store after you've just been there and get that bag of spinach because you're dedicated and you want to eat healthy. Or maybe you have an insane amount of laundry to do. Your mama is not doing that laundry for you. Or maybe you have to handle something for work. You have to go run an errand, or you have to clean something else in the house, or you have to make just one more phone call. The to-do list is honestly never ending. If you listen to my episodes, you know I am a big person on making lists, and I got about 50 sticky notes in my house right now of things that I got to do. So again, adulting is a good thing. It's taught me a lot, but it is challenging. Again, when you're a child, pretty much the only thing you have to do is make your bed and not fail your math test, and you're thriving, not even surviving. You know what I mean? And last thing I kind of hate about being an adult is that you have so much shit to do that it's hard to make time for relationships and friendships, in my opinion. And this brings me right into my second point of things that I've learned in my 20s up to this point. Second, I've learned just how important it is to make time for people you love, develop new and existing relationships. I've learned the true value in human connection and friendships and family and social support. Now, I feel like when you're younger, it's pretty easy to make friends and to make the time for the people you care about because you typically don't have a lot of stress. You typically don't have a lot of responsibilities or obligations to tend to. But once you get older, once you get in your 20s, especially if you're like me and you're an entrepreneur and you live away from your loved ones, it gets really difficult to make friends and to take care of existing relations in the way that you probably should. There's a quote by John F. Kennedy that I really, really like. I actually had a client give me a book about 8 months ago, and this quote was in the book, and I was like, wow, like this really resonated with me, and it kind of is what made me learn the lesson that I'm sharing with you guys today. So the quote by John F. Kennedy reads this. It says, "We must take the time to stop and thank the people who make a difference in our lives." So the reason this resonates with me is I don't have a ton of people in my life, to be honest. I don't want to go down this too much in detail, but I'm very, very close with my family and maybe like one or two friends, if that. And I really try to make sure now that I am nurturing those relationships and placing more value on developing new ones, because as humans, we value connection. And I think COVID changed a lot of that, but again, when you get in your 20s, it is harder to make friends, especially if you're someone like me and you move to a new city. You have to hustle. When I first moved to Miami, again, I had to hustle, and I still do. I still have to work very, very hard. But when I first moved here, I didn't place much emphasis on making friends or maintaining relationships that I already had or staying in touch with my family or visiting home frequently, even though I am self-employed. I found myself very, very stuck in an endless cycle of work and honestly just surviving to try to make it out here. Now, let me say, you should be hustling for your career in your 20s. You should be working hard. It's very important to work hard and develop that sense of work ethic. And you should sacrifice certain things for your career if it's important to you. And sometimes your relationships do suffer a little bit. But you shouldn't let it take a drastic toll in your life. You shouldn't cut out the people that you love. You shouldn't stop making time to call your friends. You shouldn't stop visiting your family again if you live away. I really stress to you guys, if you're in your 20s like me, or if you are at any age, you need to place value on taking care of your loved ones and seeking new relationships and friendships. Take it from firsthand experience by me. Now that I've had some time to think back on it, I realize that I'm not a big person who says, oh, I wish I could change this, right? Something in the past. I believe that our past have very good purpose. But when I think back on my first move here, I realized that one of the first things I should have done differently when I first got to the city was place more of a value on making friends, just to have conversations that were not work related and to visit my loved ones more, people who truly help me get where I am today. Again, because as humans, we need community and we need socialization just to feel whole. An episode that actually talks a little bit more about this more in detail is episode 4 of the Curls and Courage podcast. If you guys want to check it out, it's called Powerful Tips to Improve Your Relationships and Live a More Fulfilled Life. I go down into this a little bit more in detail, just breaking down the importance really of maintaining and building strong relationships to improve your overall well-being and quality of life. So definitely check this out. But I do want to say I've kind of changed this mentality after realizing how detrimental it's been for me. You know, I visit home more, I seek support more, I place more value on building friendships and finding balance between work and a social life, because that's important. And I'm not very good at it, again, but I am working on it. It's definitely something that I've learned. Moving right into point number 3 again, I can name so many things, so many lessons that I have been forced to learn here in my 20s. But the last thing I really want to share that has impacted my life greatly today and will make a difference in yours too is I've learned how to be more open to new change, to differences, and new things. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been stuck in a pattern of thinking there's only one way to do things? Maybe you're like me and you're from a small town, almost like a little bubble, where frankly just not much is changing on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I visited home just about a week ago and I kind of noticed for the most part, people have the same career, the same culture, the same relationships. Where I'm from, you know, we have the same businesses, the same buildings. It just looks like not much has changed. And that's a reason that I moved. I felt very stagnant. And this is not a bad thing, I want to say. It's not a bad thing to have same relationships and to be, you know, comfortable. And it's not a bad thing to be content, I guess is the right word. But it is a bad thing to be stagnant and not open-minded. So I've been forced in my 20s to learn that change is good and it's necessary. I've learned how important it is to be more flexible and how to be open to new things, new possibilities, new people, and just new places. So if I have a piece of advice for anyone out there listening, I encourage any of you who haven't been to a new place other than your small town or your hometown, big or small, doesn't matter, to travel more and to be more open and inviting to new cultures and just new ways of life. That's one thing I wish I would have done more when I was younger, and I'm really trying to do more now is travel. It definitely gives you a new perspective, and being more open-minded is generally a positive quality. I find that it helps you consider other people's perspective again and just be more receptive to other people's ideas and experiences. And learning from others and learning from different places and different things, as long as you're around an environment and people with similar values as you who truly care about you and your well-being and can help you grow and improve in areas you maybe need to work on, learning from others and again new things is positive, okay? There are so many more things that I could share, but these are just a few things that I've learned so far. Take these things with you. If you're 20, if you're 50, if you're 17, just take these things with you. I want to hop straight into three things that I'm leaving behind, or at least trying to, really working on trying to improve throughout my 20s. But before I do, I want to take a quick pause, a quick break in this episode to encourage you guys to listen to my last week's podcast episode. Let me tell you about it. Last week's episode was titled 10 Tips for Sticking to a Caloric Deficit. Being a bikini competitor myself, by the way, guys, I'm like 4 weeks out right now. I know the many challenges of sticking to a low-calorie diet, and I was able to break down 10 ways that I am able to manage being in a caloric deficit well. In my 19th episode, we talk about macro structuring, placing your protein, carbs, and fats at the right times and the right meals. We talk about the importance of hydrating. We talk about how valuable it is to monitor your progress and have an accountability partner or be accountable to yourself. We talk about prioritizing sleep and so much more. Please be sure that you check it out. It would mean a lot to me and it'd definitely help you because we all want to feel our best. And I know many of you out there, including my clients listening, are struggling in caloric deficit. So please check it out. Now let's get back into what we want to talk about today. I want to move straight into three things I'm leaving behind / just kind of working on in my 20s. Again, I say I'm leaving it behind, but working on it. Number one is going to be self-doubt. So self-doubt is something that I've always been in my head about, even from a young age. And I think this is something that a lot of you can relate to. This is such a big problem in today's society. It's easy to feel doubtful of yourself, especially again in the social media age that we kind of live in today, especially my generation, man, it's crazy. So the reason I kind of struggled with this from a young age, I would say, I'll give you an example, is I've always been super competitive in every area of my life. I've always wanted to be the best at everything that I do, especially in my athletics. I feel like God always gave me a talent to be able to work hard and to be able to push in things that are physically demanding and mentally demanding too, really. But I ran track and field real competitively and cross country throughout my high school career. And I ran in middle school and all this stuff. And I always thought that was going to be what I did in college. Y'all, I didn't even go to college, but I thought this was how my life was going to turn out. But when I was running at the time, I mentioned this on some of my past episodes, but I want to bring it up again so you guys have a little bit more insight on me, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this as well. When I was running track and cross country, I was pretty good. At practice, I would kill it. I would be the first one around the track almost every single time, but once I got to the races, I had so much anxiety. I had so much self-doubt. It was anxiety, but it was really just self-doubt as well that I couldn't do it. I felt like, okay, I suck. I'm not good enough to be here. I don't think I deserve to be wearing this number. And when you're constantly criticizing yourself and doubting your abilities, you're not going to do well, because with athletic things and a lot of things in life, but again, especially the physical things, it's mental as well. Your mental health, the way you see that obstacle, is going to impact the way that you perform. Moving into my current career with bodybuilding, with coaching online and in person, I find myself doubting even more just my own abilities. Will I ever be good enough to go pro? Will I ever be good enough to be a great coach? Am I working hard enough? I mean, even just training, like the other day, I find myself, I'm in the middle of a leg press and I catch myself because I'm literally doubting my ability to push the weight up. I'm telling myself, you suck. You're literally a piece of shit. Everyone is better than you. I mean, have you guys ever said these phrases to yourself, or is it just me? I'm sure it's not. We all have limiting beliefs. And this may be in different areas of your life. It could be your career, it could be your relationships, your fitness, your mental health. Self-doubt means that you judge yourself extremely harshly and you hold yourself to a certain standard that just is unachievable and unrealistic. Now, it's only natural to doubt ourselves sometimes, and holding yourself to a high standard is truly a strength, but it's also a weakness. One of my greatest weaknesses that, again, I'm trying to leave behind. It can be an emotion, this self-doubt, that is so powerful, it stops you from even trying to reach your goals, and it leads to poor mental health, especially depression. So what am I doing to work on this, and what can you apply to your life to help you work on this too? Number one, just acknowledging it, just the same way I did on that leg press the other day. I catch myself when I have that self-doubt every single time that emotion arises, which is pretty often, really on a daily basis still, but I'm trying to be more self-aware. Secondly, self-compassion. Now, giving yourself a little bit of grace is okay. I try to be more kind to myself. Now, you need to be disciplined. I want to separate that with you. Anyone who knows me knows I'm disciplined, and I encourage my clients to be disciplined. I encourage my friends to be disciplined, my family, but you also have to have compassion for yourself. If you are not your own friend, your own advocate, you are not going to live a happy and fulfilled life. I can tell you that again from personal experience. And then lastly, I think about the positive things in my life and my achievements. There are many goals that I have. There are many things that I need to get better at. I am nowhere near where I want to reach a lot of my goals, but I have done a couple of pretty decent things that I'm proud of. So I try to be positive about things in my life and, again, accomplishments that I have in the past and just acknowledge those, especially in a time where I'm really doubting my capabilities. Moving into point number two, I want you guys to listen really closely because this has been a big one for me. One thing that I'm trying to leave behind in my 20s and work on is settling. What does it mean to settle? It means to accept something less than what you hoped for. This could be something as simple as like a salary or a relationship or a business goal, or it may even be just a feeling. And this is what I'm going to bring up because this is what I personally am struggling with in this season of my life. I try to be as open as I can with you, but I'm not going to go too much in detail because I just don't feel comfortable doing it. But sometimes, you know, I do have feelings where I'm pretty unhappy. We all have that. It's normal. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But in the things that I can change to make me happier, I'm just not going to settle because I find myself settling and accepting things that were making me very, very unhappy. And I still do it, but I'm really trying to cut this out of my life. I want to read a quote that is by Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins is an amazing speaker. I encourage you guys to listen to his podcast. He is so, so talented at what he does and definitely has an interesting perspective on life and well-being and just things that definitely resonate with me. So again, I did not make this quote up by any means, but I do have it here listed and I want to read it out to you. So by Tony Robbins, says this: look around you. Are you living the life you always wanted? Are you actively working towards that life? If not, you're settling. It may sound harsh, but that's the honest truth. And to live a passionate, purposeful, fulfilling life, you must learn how to never settle for less. Don't settle for less in a relationship. Don't settle for less in your career. Never settle for less in your friendships, your parenting, and your personal growth. Too many people settle for a job they don't love, don't work towards becoming free, or give up on goals they set for themselves, like exercising more or mastering a new skill. They fear rejection, fear being alone or being vulnerable, and settle for relationships with no spark and no true connection. He says this: if you are not living up to your greatest potential in any area of your life, you're settling. It can be hard to admit, but when you do, you will finally discover how to never settle for less. This is powerful. This is something I'm trying to work on and, again, leave behind in my 20s. How am I doing this and how can you do this? Number one, I try to acknowledge what I am settling for. I encourage you to do the same thing. And I take small steps to change it. Don't just acknowledge it. Take action. Try to figure out, okay, what actually is making me feel unhappy? What actually am I settling for? And how can I change this? And it might not be something that is like the snap of your fingers and you can change it immediately. Probably not. If you're like me, it's going to take years. There's certain things that happen in life that we can't automatically change, but what we can do is see the perspective and acknowledge that we're not going to settle and we're going to keep fighting for what we want. Next, what I'm trying to do is not have any excuses. I've never been an excuse maker, but everyone makes excuses sometimes. It's not one of my biggest downfalls, but it does happen. Sometimes I find myself making an excuse on why I can't do something, and it goes back really for me. It's just that self-doubt. I have too much self-doubt, and that in itself can be an excuse. So don't make excuses on why you can't get the new job or why you can't start the business or why you can't be happier or why you can't break up with your boyfriend, you know, so many different things. Let's move into the last one. Number three, something that I'm leaving behind in my 20s, or at least working on, seeing vulnerability as a weakness. In my past, I have always been afraid to show emotion. I've not been willing to be vulnerable. And I'll tell you, I'm not very emotional. I'm not. I don't cry a lot. I don't get upset a lot. I don't let many things bother me. But I'm not Superwoman. I am a human. So I still do have emotions, and I used to see vulnerability and like crying as a sign of weakness because I want to be strong and I'm very independent. I am strong. You know, my whole brand is built based off being strong mentally and physically. But let me tell you this, when you are unwilling to be vulnerable and you see it as a weakness, it holds you back. It holds you back from a lot of different things. It makes you feel more isolated. It makes you feel numb, and it makes processing your emotions more difficult. When you are unwilling to be vulnerable and to seek support or connect with others, it also makes you more unable to relate to other people because people want to feel heard and people want you to understand their issues and people want to be relatable to a certain extent. And being vulnerable, let me tell you, is actually a strength. It builds courage. It helps you develop deep relationships and better mental health. We become more free and more resilient when we embrace who we are and we express the emotions that we are feeling, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And this is something that I am definitely working on and trying to, again, leave behind, that nonsense of being vulnerable is weak. Now, let me say one quick thing before I end on that note. You can't always be crying and pitching a hissy fit and getting upset about everything. That's not what I'm saying. You have to be balanced. You have to make sure you're vulnerable in the situations that you are surrounded by people who care about you, people who you trust. Don't be vulnerable in the wrong setting if you can. Don't go cry to your boss. But if you have to let out some tears or you have to relate to someone or acknowledge something in your life, just know that vulnerability, not a lot of people do it, and it's actually a strength. And one thing I'm doing to help me work on my vulnerability is starting this podcast. I am trying to be more open. I try to relate to more people, and I encourage you guys to do the same thing. If you want to start a podcast, great. But if you don't want to go to that extent, just be more open with the people who care about you and don't see vulnerability as a weakness. It's really just like a shift in your mindset I found that you have to make. And it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. Again, this is just something I'm working on. So let's summarize this. That's pretty much all I have for you today. What have I learned in my 20s? Back to a more positive note. I've learned that adulting is hard. I've learned that it's hard, but it's necessary, right? You have to learn to grow up and be independent, but adulting can be tough and kind of a pain. Next, I've learned that you have to make the time to acknowledge those who care about you. Make your friendships, your family, your romantic relations a top priority in your life. Not just a priority, but a top priority. And lastly, be open-minded and embrace change. What am I going to leave behind in my 20s? What am I going to work on in my 20s? And what should you out there listening work on? Number one, self-doubt. Don't doubt your abilities. Know you're a badass and be confident. Number two, do not settle for less than you deserve. Know your self-worth. Number three, stop seeing vulnerability as a weakness. Shift your perspective. See being vulnerable as a way to relate to others and a way to gain courage. I want to thank you guys, as always, so much for listening. If you are interested in one-on-one coaching, I'm a nutrition coach. I'm a personal trainer online and in person. I'm also a posing coach. Love what I do, love helping people, and I can help you wherever you are located in the world. So if you're struggling with your fitness or health, be sure you reach out to me. The best way to do this is by sending me an email at kinsleymeeksfit@gmail.com, or you can send me a direct message on Instagram. The Instagram is yoitskinslow, that's yoitskenslow, or you can send me a DM through my business account. It's the word fitness, the number 4, and then fortitude. Fitness for fortitude. That's what we're all about, right? Building strength in the mind and in the body. Two more things. Number one is, if you did like this show, if it helped you in any type of way, please rate and review the shows. That is what helps my show grow the most and reach a more broad audience, which is exactly what I want to do. Of course, yes, I want this podcast to grow, but the main reason I make these episodes is to share my personal experience with you and provide some insight and knowledge that is free for you guys to take with you and help you on your journey of life, because it's difficult. So please rate the review, please follow the show, and let me know what you think. You can always send me a message with any questions or anything that you'd like me to cover through those same Instagram accounts that I mentioned earlier. And then last thing, before we end today's show, I always like to take a question from an audience member. Questions that I get via DM, questions that I get in person, questions that I get through the podcast link. This is the one I want to mention to you guys today. So the question is this: What are your best tips to speed up muscle recovery? This is a question I actually get asked pretty frequently, and I think muscle recovery is so important. So number one, I would say if I could only name one thing, it would be your rest. When you are resting, that is the time where your muscles are actually growing and repairing tissue. A lot of times people think it's when you're in the gym and you're squatting that barbell up and down, but it's not. You're actually tearing those muscle fibers apart. When you rest and you provide your body with right nutrients and you recover well, that's when you're actually going to see progress and gains in the gym. So make sure you're resting. Try to get about 8 to 9 hours a night. It's not always possible. I understand. I'm not the best at sleep. I do not get great sleep, but I do try to prioritize my rest. That would be number one. Secondly, as we talked about, the nutrients are important. So your diet is going to help you with your muscle recovery. So, you know, eating a very high protein diet, that protein is going to be optimal for muscle repair and growth of new tissue. Also just balancing healthy fats and clean carbohydrates. They all work in relationship with one another, in my opinion. All are necessary to having a well-balanced diet. You just have to kind of find what works for you, and I can help you with that if you need. And then on the same diet side of things, I want to go into supplementation just for a second here, or nutritional side of things anyway. So with supplementation, I do think there's certain ones out there that have really helped me with muscle recovery and that I recommend to a lot of my one-on-one clients. Just like a couple that I'll recommend. There's a lot I could tell you, but creatine is a really good one. Glutamine is great for muscle recovery, vitamin C, and I would say essential amino acids are probably like my top four. Last thing is more just relaxation techniques and different things that are actually soothing your muscles. So I would say Epsom salt baths are really good for reducing muscle soreness and speeding up recovery. If you can get frequent massages, that would be great. I know they can be kind of pricey and it's hard to find good people sometimes, but I try to get a massage at least once a month if I can. Don't always do it that frequently, but I do try to. And then just stretching, making sure that you're warming up really well before you train and that you're stretching static stretches, 30 seconds holding each. We've talked about this, I want to say once or twice before on this podcast. Stretching before and after you train is very, very important. Dynamic stretches, let me reiterate that. Dynamic stretches, things with movement before you train, and then more static stretching when you get done training, just 5-10 minutes before and after. Doesn't have to be anything crazy. So hope this helped you, gave you some insight here. If you guys do have any questions that you want to send in, you can always do that via Instagram as well. Thank you guys so much again for listening. I appreciate it so much. I know this podcast is getting a little bit tedious, so I'm going to go ahead and cut it here, but I appreciate you guys. Wishing you nothing but the utmost optimal physical health, mental health. Wishing you guys a good year in your 20s. Don't make the same mistakes I did. Make sure your 20s are some of the most fun years of your life, but also don't be afraid to work hard. Maybe I just haven't gotten to the most good part yet, but we will get there. So again, stay positive, you guys. As I always say, wishing you blessings and hope you guys have an amazing week. I will talk to you next Thursday morning.